Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by Audible.com. If you would like to support this podcast and start a 30-day trial membership, visit audiblepodcast.com/excuse. Season 11, Episode 19.
This is Writing Excuses, Fashion for Writers with Rebecca McKinney.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're getting dressed.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Mary.
I'm Dan.
I have pants on.
And I don't.
We would like to thank Rebecca for being our guest host on this episode.
You're welcome.
And we'd like to thank our live studio audience. At Life, the Universe, and Everything, Science Fiction Symposium. So, go ahead, take it away, Dan.
All right, so this is an episode that I've been wanting to do for a while. Rebecca has been a friend of mine for a few years now. We've even to the point that we've worked on, I leveraged my friendship with her to get her to give me a whole bunch of really good fashion advice on the book that I just wrote called Blue Screen, and we'll talk about that a little later. And that convinced me that was such a fascinating series of conversations, I thought we have to get her here on the show. So thank you very much for being here. And so I want to start. We want to talk about fashion, how fashion works, how clothing can be described well in books, things like that. Let's start with the question first, the bad stuff. What are some big mistakes that you see writers make when they talk about clothing?
Well, Brandon Sanderson. No, I told Dan beforehand I was only comfortable picking on these guys. And since I've read pretty much their work, there's a few things that it pulls me out really quickly. And the first thing I'd like to say is just a really simple fix. You had me, I don't remember what the name of the book was. It was the genetics one.
Partials.
No, the other one that you'd have it published.
Oh, Extreme Makeover.
Okay, so you're making a joke. And it depends very specifically on wordplay, and you got the wordplay wrong. This is something that you get every now and then, which is if you're going to make a joke, make it right where it's not funny. So he was making an example of jeans, which is most people are wearing jeans here. It's a twill weave. He commented, I'm not wearing jeans, I'm wearing twill. The word he was looking for was tweed. The joke is only funny if it's right.
Yeah, so know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Sounds like a good one to start on. Yeah.
So, and everyone wears clothing, so there's this assumption that you know what is going on, and you don't. I'm sorry. Anne of Green Gables is another example where she talks about puff sleeves being extravagant, and what you don't understand, if you don't have something that's lycra-based, if you don't have anything that's stretchy, and you have zero puff in your sleeve, you can't go like this. Your arms don't go above your head. I'm sorry, I wear deodorant, I promise. And so it's very important to understand that you have to have certain things. The human body is shaped a certain way, and it functions mostly the same way. And you have to accommodate that. There's no getting around it. Your arm has to have a certain rotation, or you're not able to move that arm. And so if you don't have a puffed sleeve, you can't go like, you know, you can't rotate it. I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember that I can't.
Yeah. Demonstrate.
For those of you not benefiting from the video feed, she's doing the backstroke.
So this is very frustrating when I'm reading a book and someone's playing with the weave of their sweater. Well, sweaters aren't woven, they're knit. So there's the little basic inaccuracies. And there's also, sorry, I have a list.
Okay.
You gave me the questions beforehand. Another thing that I think people do that's a little odd, and this is a bigger jump, is people describe clothing the exact same way no matter who is telling the story.
Yep.
And that's...
Sorry. You can't... Again, for the video feed, you cannot see me nodding vigorously every time Rebecca speaks.
I love John Cleaver specifically because Dan did a great job with that because every single thing John does is from his point of view. And he does that with clothing as well. He doesn't notice clothing unless he shouldn't be noticing clothing, which is interesting, the way that he set up the rules and everything. And he's very upset that Brooke has changed her shirt because she shouldn't have. And that's really the only time I can remember John overtly noticing and getting passionate about what someone was wearing was when Brooke wasn't wearing what she should have been. And if you have a book that switches character points, okay, if my husband and I, a book is from our perspectives, he would not notice what I notice. I have memorized what every single kid in my primary wears every week. I'm in the primary presidency. It's just how it works. I know every single one of their clothes, and I know when they get new ones. Not because I'm a crazy person. Well, not because I'm going to murder them, but because that's just how my brain works. I can't go somewhere and see a bow that's mistied and not fix it. My husband could care less, and the conversations he has to have with me before a fashion show, he's a sweet man, but he does not care at all. And I think that your character should reflect that. Don't have it instantly just jump back into being very bland. Like, oh, this is the writer speaking now. When you notice Ron Weasley, you only notice his clothing when it's ill-fitting because he's poor. So it underlines something very important. That's a different thing. Sorry, I skipped.
I'm glad that you're. We're just gonna segue without the questions. I'm glad that you mentioned that because one of the things that clothing demonstrates, and one of the things that drives me crazy, is that people don't think about the economy of clothing in their books.
Yeah.
That they will have characters wearing garments that they can't afford, or they will do things like having things made out of clothing, out of cloth that does not come from that region. Like Pat Rothfuss in Name of the Wind talks about the fine linen and the everyday cotton. What that immediately tells you is that he is from a region where cotton is grown, because the expensive things are the things that are high labor or that are imported. So fine linen, everyday material, I mean, fine linen means that it is not an everyday material, whereas in the Regency, cotton was the fancy thing because it was being imported from India. Linen was your everyday thing because you could make it at home. And it's that kind of thing where you're not thinking about how the clothing links into the economy, into the environment, and also into the available technology. Like, people used to have to make buttons by hand. So if you've got something, you know, the Victorian buttoned shoes with the ridiculous number of buttons, the reason those happened is because suddenly button making could be automated and buttons were cheap, but the mentality was still that they were a sign of wealth. So the Victorians just said, we're going to put buttons on everything.
Well, I think that's very true. I mean, you get an opportunity to costume your world. If this was a stage play, how would you do that? And you have a very short amount of time. I'm obsessed with clothing, and I will still get bored. I can only handle so much. She was wearing a red shirt and jeans, and I don't care. If you're not moving the story forward, why are you saying it? And I think that it's really important to keep in mind that you can describe their sex, their religion, their socioeconomic background, what kind of world they come from, instantly. And you can describe so much about a person that you're not really thinking about. And I think it's so sad that we don't take more I'm not a writer.
You don't need to apologize for not being a writer.
And I completely agree because, you know, one of the first, the ways you judge people is the way that's why your mom was always getting on you to dress nicer. It's an instant snap judgment. We can tell stuff about someone's economic situation, their class, their taste. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they're dressed. You can't tell everything. People will absolutely make...
And this is done subconsciously. You're not meaning to do it, but you do. And that needs to be... Go ahead.
No,
That just needs to be a tool. Think of it as a tool. I mean, you have such an opportunity to, in such a short... My favorite is, I listen to the podcast, and you say, instead of using a whole sentence to talk about the fancy couch, you can just say the Davenport. It's the same way in clothing. You're not going to have a wallflower wear a bright fuchsia dress. It's just probably not going to happen. And so you can let someone know that they're not a wallflower by coming in the fuchsia dress. You can let so much about a person known by just those details.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WX. Hey, writers. Are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
All right, we're going to break here for the book of the week, which is mine. Ha ha. We're going to talk about Blue Screen, which is my new cyberpunk science fiction novel. It is set in the year 2050, so near future. In 2050, everyone has a computer. Almost everyone has a computer in their brain implanted, and they use it for everything. That was kind of my next step after the smartphone. And the main characters in the book, the main character's name is Marisa Carneseca. She and her friends live in Los Angeles, and they are professional video gamers. And they early on, one of their friends introduces them to a digital drug that you can plug into the computer in your brain, and it will crash it and give you a buzz. Hence the title, Blue Screen. It's a great book, and it's really fun. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure to do right, a blog that I love to follow, or maybe it's a Tumblr or whatever, is one that talks about all the clothing on Star Trek and the things that they do right and then making fun of all the amazing things that they do wrong. And that got me really thinking about the clothing of the future and what will people wear. And so I sat down with Rebecca and we talked about it, and all of the errors in the clothing are mine. Anything brilliant about the clothing in that book comes from Rebecca. So anyway, you can get that from Audible, audiblepodcast.com/excuse. And it is read by Roxanne Hernandez. And you can go start a trial membership and get a copy of that book.
All right. What other questions do you have, Dan?
All right. I want to ask you, because we've talked a lot in the first half about, you know, things that people get wrong, and a lot of it sounds just like not having a good knowledge base. Where can people learn about this kind of stuff? If someone wants to go out and learn about clothing, what do you recommend that they do?
16 years of obsessing about it.
Okay.
Okay. No, I'm very old school, so I brought some stuff because I have a bag of tricks. Okay. This...
You have to say it out loud.
Okay, this is the Reader's Digest. Oh, that's something else. The Reader's Digest New Complete Guide to Sewing. If you have a fabric and you want to figure out what it means, it's probably also on the internet, but this is a definitive. You'll get a lot of people arguing, and sometimes it's nice just to have a real thing.
We'll put these book titles in the liner notes as well on the website so that you can look them up.
Okay, this is a book from college, and it's very useful. I'm not a costumer, but at one point I was going to be. And it's historic costuming for the stage. The nice part about it is it's extremely detailed. It goes through what is significant. And
well, it seems like that would be the thing you'd really want to know. It's not just what they wore, but why they wore it. Why is it important that they wore it this way?
Well, for example, has anyone ever heard the term Greek toga party?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not true. It's in a Rome. You had like 3% of Roman citizens could wear togas, and so, but there's reasons behind it, and it had to be folded a certain way, and you had to be like a Roman citizen, and you had to be male, and it tells a lot about it, and it's very specific and why they did that, and that talks about it in a handy dandy little book.
If you don't have the resources to grab the book, or you're in a hurry, or a deadline, or something, and we'll get the right URL for the liner notes, but it's the Costumers Guild has a website, and they go through and talk about period silhouettes and how they would change over the course of years, and also frequently how that is related to a particular manufacturing technique. The other thing that is very useful is Pinterest.
Mm-hmm. I have started building Pinterest boards for my characters.
Yeah.
I taught him that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that's great about it is, you know, you can build visual reference, but also when you don't know what something is called, you can take that picture to a friend who does know fashion and costume and say, please tell me what this is. And sometimes they describe it on the sites. The other thing... is honestly pick up fashion magazines.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, I was having dinner with Phil Folio and talking to him about costumes, and specifically, you know, for putting them in the comic. And he said, he tried over and over to explain stuff to me, and he finally said, dude, just go buy Bina Abling's fashion design sketchbook. What's that? He said, it's going to set you back about $75, but it's full of hand-drawn artwork about, you know, how to draw for fashion design. And in 30 seconds of opening that book, I learned the pen strokes that I just didn't know how to do in order to quickly communicate the things that I hadn't been communicating. So $75 to learn something in 30 seconds... that paid for itself. But of course, I still have the book.
All right. I want to make sure we get some really good writing information. So let's move on. What can you tell a writer who is doing a fantasy novel or something like that as they're world building? What should they think about as they world build their clothing?
Well, can we just kind of talk about what we did for Blue Screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we had talked about was what is going to happen in the future of clothing. at some point, you're going to be able to print material. Like, that's something I see. I don't know how soon it's coming, but we have 3D printers. Most material today is polyurethane-based. It's going to happen.
You actually already can print material.
Yeah.
Shut up.
So my dad's a programmer, and he worked for a textile research and development company.
So we went in the right direction. Thank you, Mary. But what we talked about is how that's going to progress and mature. At some point, you're going to get it, and it's going to still be... it's going to still be expensive, and you're going to have to do it elsewhere, but eventually it's going to come into your home. Mm-hmm. And or the shop around the corner. And, I mean, we have an Xbox 360, and it takes, you know, 3D imaging of your body or however it does that. You're going to be able to buy something on Amazon or whatever and scan your body and print it in your size and shape. And this is a real thing that's going to happen. And I think there's stages of it. At first, it's going to be a lot more sleek, and then it's going to be a lot fussier because people learn how to use this tool. And we talked about when she was going to mm-hmm. a club or something, and what is it going to differentiate between the old people and the young people? The old people are going to have that first newer technology of, and then the new ones, it's going to shift as a culture.
One of the great things that you mentioned to me in that conversation is something that Mary already called out, which was, you know, the affluence of having the really fancy clothing. You know, what is fancy? One thing I didn't know that Rebecca told me is that a really expensive dress, you know, the kind that you see on a Oscar red carpet or something, those are advertised in part by the labor hours it took to make them because of all the, you know, the extra fabric and the folds and the ruffles and everything. And once we get to the point that stuff is easy, then everyone will do it, and then the rich people will stop doing it because the poor people can.
The non-fashion example of this is what happened to movie soundtracks when the Casio keyboard came out. Everybody used the Casio keyboard, and we have that really weird, you know the music I'm talking about. And then they figured out when it was actually useful and only used it then. But when a new technology comes out, yeah, what Rebecca is saying is absolutely correct. People will use it for everything.
So weird, those fantasy movies from that era, where the the symphonic is gone.
Dream.
Instead, it's Tangerine Dream because this is the newfangled cool thing. We are out of time.
Sorry.
This
has been fantastic. This has been a really useful episode. We really appreciate you coming on, Rebecca.
Oh, stop. I'm blushing.
And Rebecca, you're going to give us some homework.
Yes. I think that you should describe the same outfit from two different point of views, and how does that person see them and why?
Excellent. And thank you to our studio audience. This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production, jointly hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor. This episode was mastered by Alex Jackson.